I'm Scott Cullen, host of Locked On Fantasy Hockey on the Locked On Podcast Network. In today's episode, recapping Tuesday's games, weekly power rankings, digging deep on the waiver wire, a couple injury updates, matchups, and DFS tips for Wednesday. But first, the Montreal Canadiens have fired head coach Claude Julien, along with assistant coach Kirk Muller. The Habs had a 9-5-4 record, but they have just one win in the past six games. They have overtime and shootout losses against the Ottawa Senators in the past two games, and that's presumably the final nail in Claude Julien's coaching coffin. But Canadiens are firing the coach of a team that ranks second in the league in score and venue-adjusted Corsi, getting 55.9% of shot attempts, ranking behind Colorado. That's it. Canadiens are also first in score and venue-adjusted shot differentials, 57.3%, first in expected goal ratio, 57.4%, and first in score and venue-adjusted goal ratio, 63.6%. So do they now expect that a new coach is going to give them better results than that? Now, look, I don't know that they're going to find somebody who's going to get better than first across the board in those categories for shots and goals at 5-on-5. But look, Montreal has problems, and it's mostly related to special teams. The Habs rank 19th in goals per 60 during 5-on-4 play. They have 6.72 goals per 60 in that time. Now, part of it is they have zero power play goals in the past six games. No surprise that they're in a slump. Now, 2 weeks ago, the Habs ranked 13th in goals per 60 during 5-on-4 play. They had 8.67, which was 1/100th behind the Edmonton Oilers, a team that had far and away the best power play in the league last season. So I don't know that you should be looking at what's happened in the past 2 weeks with the Montreal Canadiens and deciding that all hope is lost there. Now, power play isn't the only problem. They are also 24th in goals against per 60 during 4-on-5 play. That's 8.35 goals against. And they've allowed 5 against in the past 6 games. Now, 2 weeks ago, they ranked 18th with 7.21 goals against per 60 minutes of 4-on-5 play. So they're not very good at killing penalties. Maybe the bigger problem for Montreal is they take too many. Now, is that on the coach or is that going to be on the players? So here are the Montreal Canadiens with the worst penalty differentials on a rate basis during 5-on-5 play this season. So first is Brett Kulak. Second is Josh Anderson. Third is Victor Mete. Fourth, Philippe Danault. Fifth, Shea Weber. Sixth is Nick Suzuki. Seventh is Jonathan Drouin. Eighth is Corey Perry. So those are your culprits. So let's take a look at these guys. Which one do you think is playing too much? Like, Kulak has been scratched just to get Mete in the lineup. It would be unseemly to pin this whole problem of the Montreal Canadiens taking too many penalties on their sixth and seventh defensemen. So Danault, he's not had a good season at all. But his ice time is also down almost 2.5 minutes per game compared to last season. It's not like they haven't reduced his role. So I don't know what else you're supposed to do with that. Is it time to cut Shea Weber's minutes? I doubt that's going to happen. So that mostly leaves us with Josh Anderson, Nick Suzuki, and Jonathan Drouin. The Habs' most consistent scoring line happens to take too many penalties. Now, and is a new coach going to be able to change that? I guess that's what they're hoping. On the positive side, who are the Canadiens players that are drawing more penalties than they take? Joel Armia, Brendan Gallagher, and Jake Evans. So there are some positives there, but the Canadiens take too many penalties for a team that doesn't kill them very well. So on top of all that, the Canadiens were also winless in four games that went beyond 60 minutes, losing 2 in overtime and 2 in shootouts. So that doesn't enhance their overall record. Now, none of this means that Dominique Ducharme can't do the job. Maybe he can. Maybe he'll get the job. Right now, he's the interim head coach. We don't know whether he's the long-term plan. But he's coached in the Quebec Major Junior Hockey League, has coached Canada at the World Juniors, but this is his third season as an assistant coach in the National Hockey League. The fairest evaluation would be that we just don't know how good he can be as an NHL coach. That's quite a choice when you're replacing a coach whose team has been utterly dominant during 5-on-5 play this season. So how does this all matter for fantasy? It's too soon to say, I guess. There could be a new coach bump because the Habs aren't likely to keep losing 5 of every 6 games like they have over the past couple of weeks. But I would be wary of any thinking that this will suddenly mean the Habs are going to take off with better results, because as unlucky as they might have been in the past couple of weeks, overall, the Habs rank 2nd in 5-on-5 save percentage at .933. Their 8.7 shooting percentage ranked 12th. They weren't getting jobbed by the percentages, and that's going to make it even harder to have dramatically better results in short order. Built Bar is a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. They have amazing new flavors. It's caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp. That goes with their 12 original flavors: coconut almond, raspberry, German chocolate, peanut butter, banana bread, mint brownie, salted caramel, double chocolate, orange, toffee almond, coconut, and peanut butter brownie. The bars are all covered in 100% chocolate, and they're all healthy. For me, I've resorted to an outdoor boot camp to lose some LBs in the past couple of months, and I've had some success, but I leaned right into it with Built Bar as part of my post-workout routine. It gives my muscles the protein boost they need. So go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON. You'll get 20% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. Today on the Locked On Today podcast, Tiger Woods hospitalized after a car crash early Tuesday morning. Host Peter Bukowski gives you the latest details. Get more of the sports news you need in less time with the Locked On Today podcast. Subscribe to Locked On Today wherever you get podcasts. So now before we get into this week's power ranking, let's rip through Tuesday's games. Start with Buffalo, much needed 4-1 win at New Jersey. Sabres right winger Sam Reinhart had a couple of assists. He's got 6 points in his past four games, still available in a lot of leagues. Buffalo goaltender Linus Ullmark stopped 41 of 42 shots. He has a .915 save percentage and 11 starts. Pretty quality performance there from Ullmark. Pittsburgh wins 3-2 in overtime at Washington, getting goal and assist from both Kasperi Kapanen and Jake Guentzel. Guentzel has 9 points in his past seven games. Montreal in the fond farewell to Claude Julien, loses 5-4 in a shootout to Ottawa. Ottawa left winger Brady Tkachuk scored a pair of goals, including one late in the game, an awful one-handed goal that went through Carey Price. Tkachuk has 7 points in his past six games. Also, Ottawa right winger Drake Batherson had a goal and assist. He's got 6 points in his past five games. For Montreal, Shea Weber scored a couple of goals, snapping a seven-game scoreless drought, and center Philippe Deneau had a couple of assists. It's been a rough season for Philippe Deneau, who has no goals and 8 assists so far in 18 games. For Ottawa, center Chris Tierney was on the ice for 3 goals against during five-on-five play, while Montreal defenseman Shea Weber was on the ice for 3 goals for during five-on-five play. The most exciting game of the night, Chicago wins 6-5 in a shootout at Columbus. For Columbus, Patrick Laine scores 2 goals and an assist. He has 10 points in 10 games with Columbus. Everything sounds great there. I'd keep my eye on. He only has 18 shots on goal in those 10 games. That's not nearly enough for somebody of Laine's stature. Columbus right winger Oliver Bjorkstrand scored a pair of goals. He has 8 points in the past 9 games. Columbus right winger Cam Atkinson also had a goal and assist. He has 11 points in his past 7 games. And Columbus center Jack Roslovic had a couple of assists. He has 12 points in 13 games since he was traded to the Blue Jackets. Blue Jackets defenseman Seth Jones added a couple of helpers. He has 10 points in the past 10 games. For Chicago, no surprise, Patrick Kane leads the way with a goal and 3 assists. He has 6 goals, 17 assists in the past 12 games. Chicago center Carl Soderberg had a goal and 2 assists. He has 6 points in the past 5 games. Chicago needs him to step up with Dylan Strome dealing with a concussion. Chicago left winger Dominic Kubalik also added a goal and assist. He's had a nice second season thus far. Nashville goes into Detroit and wins 2-0. Red Wings goaltender Jonathan Bernier stopped 31 of 33 shots in the loss. He's got a .914 save percentage in 9 games. Could be of interest on the trade market this year. Nashville left winger Philip Forsberg, speaking of people of interest on the trade market, had a goal and assist. He has 6 points in the past 5 games. Nashville defenseman Roman Josi also added a couple of assists, and Nashville goaltender Pekka Rinne had 24 save shutout for the win. Rinne has got a .916 save percentage in 11 games this year. Edmonton rallies in Vancouver to win 4-3. Canucks center Elias Pettersson had a goal and assist. He's got 16 points in his past 15 games. Seems to be leaving that slow start in the rearview mirror. Edmonton left winger Dominic Cahoon scored a pair of goals, doubling his season output. And Edmonton center Leon Draisaitl had 3 assists. He's got 7 points in the past 4 games. Now, every episode, I recommend one player owned in 5% or fewer of Yahoo leagues. Might be a player that you should add right away or one to keep an eye on and see if he can keep it up. Today, we're going to go with the 13th pick in the 2016 draft, Carolina defenseman Jake Bean. He has 92 points in 129 AHL games over the past two seasons, but he's finally getting a shot with the Hurricanes and has 5 assists in 8 games this season, with all of those assists coming in the past 5 games. Bean also had 7 shots on goal Monday against Tampa Bay. Now, he doesn't play a lot yet, but his ice time has increased in the past couple of games, and he was getting some second unit power play time. He's only rostered in 1% of Yahoo League, so you don't necessarily have to race right out to get him, but be aware, Jake Bean is starting to make his mark in Carolina. So now let's look at this week's power rankings, speaking of Carolina, and the Hurricanes remain at number one this week. They're 12-4-1, and they're certainly not invincible, but when you end up running up against Tampa Bay and Florida, sometimes you're going to lose some games. But Carolina never cheats on their performance, that's for sure. At number two, we've got the Boston Bruins. Fresh off their outdoor win in Lake Tahoe, Bruins are 11-3-2. And in some ways, it doesn't even feel like they're firing on all cylinders yet. They've sort of had some injuries and question marks on the left side of their blue line. But still, the Bruins are really, really good. At number three, we've got the Tampa Bay Lightning. The defending champs continue to roll on, and they had a nice battle with Carolina this week, and I think you can look at Tampa Bay is going to be right here in the mix all season long. And number four, the Colorado Avalanche, who they won their outdoor contest at Lake Tahoe, even with the longest intermission possible. And in some ways, the Avalanche have a feel like the Bruins, where you know they've played all right, but don't necessarily feel like they're firing on all cylinders just yet. But they're so good that they still get some pretty positive results. And number five, the Vegas Golden Knights, who followed up the outdoor game loss to Colorado by then going to Colorado and earning a win. And so Vegas and Colorado were sort of expected to be the top of the heap in the West, if not the entire league. They're both kind of performing as expected so far this season. Number six, the Toronto Maple Leafs, who are gaining some distance between themselves and the rest of the North Division, as Montreal was close early on but has faded, and Toronto's up to a 14-4-2 record. And you know, Austin Matthews has 18 goals in 19 games, and you know, the high end stuff looks really good for Toronto at this exact moment. It doesn't look ideal that they have Michael Hutchinson rolling out to start games in net, but hopefully they can get Frederick Anderson and Jack Campbell back. And the goaltending will be a little more stable. Number seven, Florida Panthers. Now, this is an interesting case here with Florida, who's 12-3-2, is that Chris Driedger has been really good for them in goal, but they're still sort of splitting time between Driedger and Sergei Bobrovsky, as you might expect when Bobrovsky's making $10 million a season. But that is sort of something that hangs over this, is that Driedger might just be their better option, and they could just start rolling him out as the starter. Sometimes that doesn't always work based on contracts and situations like that. Winnipeg in at number eight, or 11-6-1. I would say they've been consistently strong, not overpowering, but certainly holding their own. And the thing that Winnipeg always seems to be able to rely on is their high-end scoring wingers. And that keeps them competitive. And with Pierre-Luc Dubois coming back from injury, that's kind of one more shot in the offensive armor for them. At number nine, we've got the Montreal Canadiens, and that's plummeting from where they were just a week ago, at number two, I believe. And so, you know, Montreal, as we discussed off the top of this, their overall numbers are still really strong. They've got some special teams issues, and maybe they don't finish at an elite level, but they dominate the shot clock and expected goals clock and the even strength scoring clock. They've run into a bit of a slump. And when the last two end up being losses in overtime and a shootout to a team like the Ottawa Senators, well, that's that can prompt some unfortunate decisions, I think. So number 10, we've got the Washington Capitals. Now, the Capitals have been okay. They're 9-5-4, same as Montreal. But the encouraging sign for the Capitals is that, for the most part, they're getting healthier. In fact, I even saw footage of Henrik Lundqvist practicing, not with the Capitals, but on his own, just a couple of months after having open-heart surgery. So keep an eye on what happens there. But Capitals, as they get healthier, should be a competitive side. Number 11, I'm going to keep the Philadelphia Flyers there. They lost, obviously, in that Lake Tahoe game to Boston, and they're sort of in a tough spot because they have a bunch of guys out of the lineup for COVID reasons. And you know, the Claude Giroux is due back tonight, and so that will help. But they're still a little bit shorthanded compared to what they should be if everybody was healthy. At number 12, we've got the Edmonton Oilers. The Oilers are starting to surge a little bit. They're up to a 13-8 record, and they've managed to get some wins, not merely based on performance by Connor McDavid or Leon Draisaitl. No, not that those guys have faded away by any stretch, but you know, they've got Mike Smith playing really well in goal for them. Tyson Barrie and Darnell Nurse are putting up a bunch of points on the blue line, and so the Oilers are kind of starting to make some inroads here after a bit of a slow start. Number 13, the Pittsburgh Penguins. Now, it does look like they lost Jason Zucker to what could be a long-term injury on Tuesday night, but nevertheless, the Penguins are playing a little bit better, and they're 10-6-1. At number 14, Minnesota Wild. Now, the Wild are climbing here. They're up to a 9-6 record. They obviously missed a bunch of time for kind of a COVID hiatus, but getting Matt Zuccarello back in the lineup, he seems to have energized Victor Rask, and so big bonus points for that. And, you know, Kirill Kaprizov continues to play well for them. And they just seem to be maybe a little bit more competitive than I was giving the Wild credit for not so long ago. Number 15, St. Louis Blues. And now the Blues as a team are probably better than the 15th ranked team. But at the same time, they're dealing with a bunch of injuries. And so Carl Gunnarsson being the latest. But they have a lengthy list of walking wounded right now. And so that's why the Blues are kind of hovering here around middle of the pack. Number 16, the Chicago Blackhawks, also kind of hovering middle of the pack. And Chicago has been a real surprise this year. And certainly some of that is due to goaltender Kevin Lankinen, who kind of changes the equation for them. But also Patrick Kane has been incredible. And Alex DeBrincat has, you know, resumed being a top scorer. So Chicago, one of the bigger surprises so far this season. Number 17, the New York Islanders, and they're 9-6-3. Certainly a respectable showing. They're getting solid goaltending from Semyon Varlamov, but it does feel like if the Islanders are going to kind of do some damage, that they kind of somehow need to add something to that lineup, like, you know, maybe a more dynamic scorer or something. And I mean, maybe that's not their MO. Maybe the Islanders' MO is just grind people to dust, or but it does seem that they're maybe not quite as dynamic as some of the other teams here. Number 18, speaking of teams that aren't very dynamic, the Los Angeles Kings. But we shouldn't be throwing around insults because I'm trying to praise the Kings here. They've made real progress and become much more competitive. In part, they're getting better goaltending. Cal Peterson was already playing really well, but Jonathan Quick has started to come around after a slow start to the season. Andrei Kopitar has been great. Drew Doughty's been really good for them. Dustin Brown has been really productive. And so you start going through all the old guys on the Kings, and some of them still got it. At number 19, the Arizona Coyotes, continuing to kind of hover around and be competitive. They're getting Connor Garland and Clayton Keller and Nick Schmaltz and Jacob Chychrun. Some of these guys have stepped up to lead the way offensively. Again, this Coyotes team is competitive. Don't know whether they can kind of take that next step into, you know, being a serious playoff team or what have you. Number 20, we've got the Dallas Stars. And the Stars, obviously the Stanley Cup finalists a year ago, who got off to a nice start this season, but they also started the season late, and then they've missed time for the natural disaster in Texas. And so this has been a bit of a rough stretch here for the Dallas Stars. Number 21, the Calgary Flames. Flames have been reeling. Now, they managed to do all right the other night against Toronto, and they'll face them again on Wednesday. The Flames are also going without goaltender Jacob Markstrom, which is kind of tough because he was, I guess, one of the big reasons for their success early in the season. Number 22, the New Jersey Devils. Devils are kind of hovering here at .500, and I don't think that, you know, coming into the season, you necessarily expected them to be better, but they do have Nico Hischier back. And with Jack Hughes, you're hoping that they can kind of build on that as their offensive core. Travis Zajac played his 1,000th career game, which is, you know, a real accomplishment for a guy who was not a star. He was a very good National Hockey League player, but there are lots of very good National Hockey League players who don't have the durability to go for 1,000 games. So number 23, the Columbus Blue Jackets. Blue Jackets are 8-7-5. There have been some ups and downs along the way here. Elvis Merzlikens, who had been playing well in a few games, is now hurt. So a lot of this falls now on Jonas Korpisalo in net, and we'll see whether he can hold up. Number 24, the Nashville Predators. We talked about them on the podcast the other day about how there may be some, you know, major overhaul coming in Nashville in terms of trades. As Elliot Friedman reported, they said that Pekka Rinne, Roman Josi, and Ryan Ellis are the only ones who are untouchable on that roster. And if that's the case, Nashville could be one of the more interesting teams to watch for the time leading up to the trade deadline, because they could really, you know, remake things if they wanted to kind of dig in and do it. At number 25, we got the Vancouver Canucks. Canucks have been reeling a little bit, and it kind of looked on Tuesday night, they got off to a good start against Edmonton, that they might be able to get on track a little bit. But nope, they coughed that away and ended up losing 4-3 to the Oilers. And I think you can look at the top end guys on the Canucks and seeing that Pettersson is kind of rounding into form, and that's great. And Quinn Hughes is being productive offensively. I'm not sure his all-around game is quite where they would like it to be. The problem is that you don't have to go too far down in the lineup to start seeing guys who aren't producing very much. And it ends up being a real problem that, you know, you've spent money on depth guys and the depth guys aren't making a difference. Number, what are we at? 26, Buffalo Sabres. Again, the Sabres are a team that looked like they were going to be getting some better results because their underlying numbers were good early in the season. They came out of their COVID break and were just awful. Now they, as I said, they got a much needed win at New Jersey last night, and we'll see whether they can build on that because there is some talent here. And obviously one of their more skilled players has been biding his time in the press box the last couple of games. That's Jeff Skinner. Tough times right now for the Sabres. And if they're, you know, they built a roster with the idea of competing for a playoff spot this season. And if they're going to do it, they're going to have to kind of hop to it and get back in the race, or else there's not much point. Number 27, we got San Jose Sharks. Maybe the Sharks are as, you know, bad as we'd expect, in some part because their goaltending is as bad as we'd expect. They don't have Erik Karlsson right now, but we also don't know how big a loss that is, because Karlsson, even when he was healthy this year, was not having a huge impact. The Anaheim Ducks are at number 28. They haven't been able to score this season, and at least they have tried to address it now by calling up Trevor Zegras, their top prospect, who had 9 points in 8 games in the American Hockey League. Now, there was probably an argument to be made, and I think I made it at the time, that Zegras should have started the season with Anaheim. You know, coming off his World Junior performance for Team USA, that might have been a chance to plug him into the lineup and see if you could get some results right away, rather than, you know, stumble your way through the first 17 games or 18 games of the season and then realize, oh, we can't create any offense whatsoever at 5-on-5. So we'll see if Trevor Zegras can have some kind of impact on the Ducks, but as it is right now, they're sitting at 28th and doesn't look like they're ready to take off in an upward trajectory. Number 29, the Ottawa Senators. For the second straight week, the Sens sitting up here at a lofty 29th, getting the overtime and shootout wins against Montreal obviously help their case, but, you know, they're still not a great team by any stretch. Number 30, the New York Rangers. Now, the Rangers, you know, they're not a terrible team by and large. You know, they're sitting on a 6-7-3 record, but you know, with news this week that Artemi Panarin is taking a leave because of, you know, I guess real serious issues that could affect his family in Russia, then that obviously hurts the Rangers in the short term. And in addition to that, the Rangers have, you know, a few injuries and absences to deal with, and for a team that isn't necessarily all that deep to begin with. And at number 31, we have the Detroit Red Wings, 5-13-3. The Red Wings, look, they're not abysmal, but you know, that's a backhanded compliment. They're mediocre, might be their ceiling, and I don't know that they're going to get there this year. So there we go. Those are this week's power rankings. When we come back, we will get a couple of injury updates and go through the Wednesday schedule. BetOnline.ag is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but the NBA, college basketball, and NHL are all in full swing. Baseball is just around the corner. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV, if that's what you're into. They have real-time, updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website betonline.ag or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Use promo code LOCKEDON at BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Every Wednesday on Locked On NHL, take a deep dive into the Western Conference with Sarah Avampato of Locked On Kings and Tom Gazzola of Locked On Oilers. Whether it's a look at top-end contenders like Vegas and Colorado, or breaking down the rebuilds of the Kings and Blackhawks, Locked On NHL has you covered on Western Conference Wednesdays. Subscribe to Locked On NHL wherever you get podcasts. And send me your questions. I'm at @ByScottCullen on Twitter. Show is at @LO_FantasyNHL on Twitter. If you want to fire off an email, send it to LockedOnFantasyHockey@gmail.com. We just have a couple of injuries to take note of before we get into the Wednesday schedule, and it's Penguins left winger Jason Zucker suffered what appeared to be a leg or ankle injury against Washington. He couldn't put weight on it as he was leaving the game on Tuesday, and so expectation is that Zucker could be out for a significant amount of time. That may prompt the Penguins to get in on the trade market, but at the very least, there's going to be a little shuffling among the deck there in Pittsburgh. Also, Anaheim right winger Carter Rowney is out with a lower body injury. Now, Rowney is a fourth liner for Anaheim, but he's been reasonably effective in that role for them this year. And so now, let's take a look at Wednesday's NHL schedule on betonline.ag. First up, Carolina, +139 at Tampa Bay. I have Tampa Bay favored, but very slightly in this game, maybe -109 or so. So I would side with the Hurricanes in this game. Basically, I'll repeat what I said when they played earlier this week in Carolina, is that Tampa Bay is great. They're defending champs and playing at a level where they're going to compete for the Stanley Cup again. I think Carolina is every bit as good. And so if you can get them as the underdog at those kind of prices, maybe it's worth a look. Dallas, +123 at Florida. I have Florida favored in this game, but not by enough to take them. Maybe -115 or so. I'd probably avoid this altogether right now. The way Dallas coming off their break is maybe just not in fine form at the moment either. Calgary, +131 at Toronto. I think I might side with the Flames here. I have Toronto favored, but by a small amount, maybe -107 or something. Part of it is because Michael Hutchinson is in goal for Toronto, and this doesn't have to pin all the blame on Michael Hutchinson, but it does give Calgary an edge to have David Rittich on their side. And you know, with Joe Thornton out, you know, Toronto is kind of moving bodies around. They are getting Zach Hyman back, but certainly getting Calgary as an underdog at that price is maybe worth your consideration. Philadelphia, -124 against New York Rangers. And I know the Flyers lineup is depleted, but they are getting Claude Giroux back, and the Rangers lineup is also missing Artemi Panarin. And I think as much as the Flyers will miss the quantity of players that they have out on because of COVID, the Rangers are missing, you know, their very best player in Panarin. So I have Philadelphia is significantly favored in that game. And so I take him at -124. Arizona, -157 against Anaheim. That's a pretty heavy price to pay. I would have Arizona favored, but probably not by enough to like 165, 167 range. And so probably not enough to take them in that case. Colorado, -170 against Minnesota. Now, this is strange because I've been probably underrating Minnesota for the last little bit. But I have Colorado -158. And so, yes, I like Colorado to be favored. I don't like them enough to take that premium on the price. And Los Angeles, +137 at St. Louis. I'm going to ride with the Kings again. I think the Kings are, you know, turning a corner here a bit, and I'm sure this is the kind of talk that gets you regretting it when they fall down 3-0 8 minutes into the game. But I do think that if they get solid goaltending, playing against a depleted St. Louis lineup, that they have a shot. So the games that I like tonight, I like Carolina at Tampa Bay. I like Calgary at Toronto. I like Philadelphia at home against the Rangers. And I like the Kings in St. Louis. Thanks to betonline.ag for those odds. And now let's pop over and grab some DFS lineup recommendations. Skaters under $5,000 on DraftKings on Wednesday. We'll start with Calgary center Sean Monahan, who is $4,600 at Toronto, has 5 points in his past five games, including a couple points against the Leafs the other night. Kings right winger Dustin Brown, who's $4,800 at St. Louis, has 12 points in his last 10 games. He's playing with Kopitar, and the Kings are playing well, and so Brown should be able to contribute again. Minnesota winger Matt Zuccarello is $3,700 at Colorado. Now, I obviously don't love the matchup, but Zuccarello has 7 points in four games since getting into the Wild lineup this season, and so getting him at that price is, you know, an opportunity if he can manage to keep that going. For Arizona, right winger Phil Kessel is $3,900 against Anaheim. Now, Kessel has 4 points in the past three games. He's not nearly as dangerous as he was in, say, his Pittsburgh years, but if he's if he gives you anything at $3,900, there's a decent chance for a return. Calgary defenseman Rasmus Anderson is $4,700 at Toronto. Anderson has 6 points in his past six games, gets to quarterback the power play for Calgary for whatever that might be worth. And, you know, so you might get some value there. Colorado defenseman Samuel Girard is $3,800 against Minnesota. He has 10 points in 13 games. You know, great young puck moving defenseman. And at the price, not too bad. And in goal, I'm going to go with a guy who I went with the other night, even though he didn't play. It's Kings goalie Cal Peterson. Turned out that Jonathan Quick started the other night and gave the Kings a shutout. Well, I'm going to go for Peterson again because he's priced at $6,900 at St. Louis. That's pretty nice. Peterson's played really well. He's a .926 save percentage. And St. Louis, as I've mentioned, a lineup kind of ravaged by injuries. So maybe an opportunity for Peterson to stymie them on Wednesday. And that'll do it for today. Enjoy the games. You can check out my work on The Athletic and at scottcullenhockey.substack.com. Also, check out Locked On Fantasy Baseball. I've gone through rotations for American League and National League teams, bullpens for American League and National League teams. We're getting ready to go team by team previews into the season. So find these podcasts, subscribe, maybe drop in a 5-star rating on iTunes, or Stitcher, Spotify, Radio.com, wherever you get your podcasts. Stay locked in with Locked On Fantasy Hockey, your daily source for fantasy news and analysis.